Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're rocking with you until noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. And they will take you to 4 o'clock where the Ohio State Buckeyes and Texas Longhorns will face off in the college football playoff semifinal. 4 o'clock coverage begins right here on ESPN 1320. The winner of that game will take on the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, who beat Penn State 27-24 in a thriller last night, an all-time classic. And broadcasting that game for Notre Dame is our good friend of the program, and United States Olympian, Tony Simeone. Tony, thank you so much for jumping in, man. How are you?
It's great to be
here. It's the live studio
second
audience.
Second time appearance, so feel like a regular at this point. And yeah, you're right. Last time we talked, I was making my Olympic debut. I am now an Olympian, having called the Olympics. Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm now an Orange Bowl champ. I was on the field looking for some extra hats. No one had any extra hats for me. I'm still in the process.
You didn't get one?
I saw some people with hats that I didn't think should have hats at the after party last night, but I didn't confront anybody. And I'm working on that. But yeah, it was unbelievable.
I got to tell you, man, Penn State goes up 10-0, and it really felt like Notre Dame was in bad shape. Where were you when, not where were you physically, you were in the broadcast booth. What did you think when that went down? When Singleton goes in for his first touchdown, Penn State makes it 10-0. It's like, I didn't feel great about Notre Dame getting a touchdown, a stop, and then another touchdown to take a lead.
Yeah, I'm always of two minds with this team this year. I'm usually pretty pessimistic, as you know from our days, Kyle. And
sure.
I just, that was the first double-digit deficit all year for Notre Dame. They've not been down by more than one score at any point. So I've been saying all year, how is this team going to handle that? And particularly because the talk was, how are they going to throw their way back into the game? And it just all kind of plays out where Riley Leonard actually gets hurt on the drive. Mm-hmm. And they have to bring in the backup, Steve Angeli. And I think that kind of just somehow just opened up the playbook in a way where they started to have to throw it because that's what Steve's best at.
Mm-hmm.
And it just got them in a different rhythm. And it got them the 3 points. They could just reset. And we felt when the field goal went in, that was massive. Obviously, you make it then a one-score game, and you have the ball, you know, coming out of the half. So, frankly, it was pretty bleak after the touchdown. But knowing they had a chance to get three and maybe make it 10 – sorry about that.
All good.
And maybe make it 10 to start the second half, or maybe make it one score game. It was huge to get that. And that's when we started to feel good. And the drive to start the second half was unbelievable. Best drive of the year to tie the game. And then it was a completely different ball game at that point.
Yeah, that game was just so intense watching from start to finish. It felt like it was just a heavyweight fight. The touchdown run by Jeremiah Love. My goodness. Talk about somebody who just understood the moment and willed his team into the end zone. Just what has it been like to be around him and see plays like that in such big moments?
Yeah, Jeremiah Love, I mean, I think he's obviously Ashton Jeanty was phenomenal. They're doing two different things, but I think Jeremiah Love has a case to be the most talented back in the country. He's just like unbelievable. And I think he taught a lot of people about his toughness last night.
Yeah.
He has not looked the same since the regular season finale against USC. Banged up the knee, had the huge home run against IU, but he just ran through a gaping hole and beat everybody 98 yards. He hasn't been able to cut the same way. I think he was averaging less than 2 yards per carry on every other playoff carry before this game. Wow. And so he comes into this one, and he doesn't look all that great in the first half. He has the big knee brace. And then that run was just, like you said, it's the best 2 yards you'll ever see. I just, against a defense that's awesome. Mm-hmm. I watched the replay a couple times. We were kind of blocked out a little bit, so we couldn't even really tell. I thought he was down, quite frankly. Then he got in. It was just remarkable. And that told, I think, everybody everything they needed to know about this team and Jeremiah Love. They were really, they were not going to be denied. They might have lost the game, but it wasn't going to be for lack of effort. And he showed you that on that play.
Tony Simeone, voice of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, joining us now. Man, as a local radio professional, I try and find like local ties to everything that happens. Thing happens, how do I make this about local? I see Doug Christie is now the head coach of the Sacramento Kings, and they've kind of taken on his personality. The way he was as a player is sort of how they've played the last five games as they've won their last five. I feel like that's the way Marcus Freeman is as Notre Dame's head coach. Am I overstating that? Because I see the way he approaches the game and the intensity on the sideline, and then I see the way Notre Dame looked in the first half, and okay, they ended the first half on a high note. That was nice, but man, they come out in the second half and look like a completely different team, and that to me is on the coach. Am I overstating his impact?
Not at all. I think he's the best coach in the country right now, and I don't think it's close, at least in this postseason. One thing real quick, Doug Christie, Pepperdine, AO Waves.
AO Waves.
So Freeman, you know, when he got the job, he was 35 years old. And I don't know if you guys remember it, but that video of when he got announced, the locker room of the current players who just had their coach leave a week ago to go to LSU. Mm-hmm. When Freeman gets announced and he comes through the locker room, it just erupts.
I just got chills.
And it's like, it's this video and it's just, it just starts the movie, right? Mm-hmm. And he has not been perfect by any means. They've lost some terrible games at home. They lost to Marshall. He was 0-3 to start his career. They lost to NIU this year. It's the worst imaginable loss. It'll easily be the worst loss of a team of this caliber, certainly, you could ever imagine. Mm-hmm. And what he gets a ton of credit for in my book, and I get the chance to sit and talk with him a lot, is that he has – I can't think of a time he's ever put the blame on anyone but himself and his staff first. And it's constantly, when you make a mistake, like the NIU game, he just comes out right away and says, this is on me. I didn't have us ready. There were things that were going on that we didn't address the way we needed to. It won't happen again. And he's made sure of that. And then as this run's gone along and they've started to, I think, actually believe, because after NIU, everyone was telling them that they're not good enough. They're out of the playoff. Right. They're frauds again. And he managed to get them to start believing that they were who they were after week one. And now they're in the postseason. And again, like you said, they haven't been down by 10 this year. If this team were down by 10, they were down against NIU at half and they couldn't get it done. They were down by 10 against a much better team this week. And they clearly believe because of what he's selling. Mm-hmm. His staff is awesome. His two coordinators, Al Golden and Mike Denbrock, are older guys that have seen it, which I think is a huge factor. The younger guy gets the message across. The two older veterans know how to get you out of the jams you're in. And it's just such a great dynamic. And I just think that as he's gotten even better and more mature here in year three, he's coached with a confidence that permeates the locker room. They go all the time. They fake punts. There's a Dan Campbell-ness to it that the team then buys in a way that you have to when someone coaches like that. So that's what I see when I watch him, and it's just so fun to see it on the biggest stage.
You know, you talk about the biggest stage, Tony, and the Notre Dame is in the championship game. Like, how crazy has this playoff been with so many teams, the high-ranking teams, the teams with bye weeks losing early on, but that you guys have made it to this moment, sort of like not out of nowhere, but a little bit, as a surprise entry into this?
I mean, it's been amazing to be a small part of it and get to watch it from up close. I mean, it's just incredible from a professional and personal standpoint. I think that when the playoff was announced, 12-team, the initial reaction actually from a lot of people was, this will be harder for Notre Dame now because they used to be able to get in. They're playing their independent schedule. Anytime they go 12-0, they get one of the four slots. And then the two times they made it in the four slots, they got smoked by Clemson and Alabama. And so it's kind of like, well, that, you know, now you got to go and play. You know, you might have to beat an SEC team and then a Big Ten team to get there. Well, they've done that, and now they're going to the title game. And that's maybe more reflective of how college football's flattened a little bit, and also how Notre Dame has really adapted with the times here as the landscape has changed. I don't know if they were willing to play ball like this 15, 20 years ago. So it's been amazing to see. You know, I'm still relatively new to Notre Dame, but I've now been there for, this is my ninth season on campus. And there's a lot of, I don't want to call it scar tissue, but there's a full generation, maybe two generations of people that have not experienced a national championship.
Yeah.
And they've been to one 12 years ago. And there were people going down to Miami last night that the last time they were there was when they got just absolutely blown out by Alabama in 2012. Mm-hmm. I think Madsen, I think, joined us maybe 6 months later. That was right around when I was in Arizona with him. Mm-hmm. And there is scar tissue from that. And so it's actually kind of a unique fan base now because it's this amazing program with all this rich history, but it's so long ago that there's this desperation to recapture it, get a modern national championship. Yeah. And so the way they've done it, beating Indiana at home in an interstate rivalry, beating an SEC champ, and then beating a Big Ten team yesterday, you know, it's kind of writing itself. If they were to win the title against either one of these two teams, there's not going to be any asterisk about them kind of sneaking into a weak playoff field. They'll have beaten Goliaths on their way to the top.
Yeah. Tony Simeone, voice of Notre Dame, Fighting Irish football, Olympian, Orange Bowl champion. And Tony, hopefully next time we talk to you, we can add national champion to that resume. And stretch internet alone, of course.
Yeah, stretch it into one, and I'll try to bring my gold medal and title ring to the next time we visit.
Please, would love that so much. Tony Simeone, thank you so much, man.
Great to see you guys.
Here he goes, Tony Simeone, voice of Notre Dame Fighting Irish football and close personal friend.
Yeah, he's such a good dude.
He's
a good dude, man.
He's the best.
Yeah.
He's the very best. Huge J.J. Redick fan.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, they shout out J.J. Redick again, who lost
hang on,
his
hang
house.
On. Tony's still here. Tony.
No, he left.
Gone. Dang. I was going to ask him how he felt about J.J. Redick's coaching job.
Oh, yeah, we missed that opportunity.
Nah, it's all right. We got to talk about the Kings, man. So hopefully Notre Dame will beat either Texas or Ohio State, which plays tonight, 4 p.m., that game, the other college football playoff semifinal, the Cotton Bowl Classic, it is. Hopefully they win that game and we can get Tony on again. He's a ton of fun. But I thought it was interesting what he talked about with Marcus Freeman and how that's Notre Dame's head coach and how the players just kind of buy what he's selling.
Yeah.
And how important that is to their run. And I really think that if the Kings continue what they're doing under Doug Christie, I think that's going to be a key thing for them is just the buy-in to whatever it is Doug's saying, whatever he's doing, whether it's schematically or motivationally, as long as players are buying in, if you have the requisite level of talent, which I think the Kings do, mm-hmm. to be competitive, I think we know what changes they need to make to their roster to probably get to that next level, but to just get back to the playoffs and just be competitive in the playoffs, like that kind of motivational stuff, and just getting buy-in to what the coach is doing, can matter a lot.
No, I think the biggest win for Doug here has been, yeah, he's a different voice. He hasn't even had a full-fledged, you know, moment here to really institute who he is fully to these guys, but they're getting a small dose. But the biggest, like realistically, to win 5 straight as you take over, it instantly gives you that moment where you do feel empowered and you do mm-hmm. feel like a breath of fresh air has entered the room. And so you've got to carry that over. And, you know, again, it can't get old. That's mm-hmm. that's the other thing. You've got to find a way to continuously be authentic, but to have your message not get old.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you brought up like Dan Campbell, I thought that he would have burned himself out in the league very quickly. Like his mm-hmm. his antics, his ideas, you know, of like, hey, this is how we play and all that mm-hmm. stuff. But it hasn't got old. And not only that, but the Lions just keep feeding off of it. And they've become better and better and better. And they are a part of his personality. Like mm-hmm. his team plays, like he coaches, like he lives. And so that doesn't happen all the time. It doesn't happen all. It's good that we're, you know, again, Marcus Freeman has been able to capture the imagination of a Notre Dame team. But again, we're talking about young players.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can you do it? Not just, you know, for the next 45 games for Doug, but can you do it, you know, where you get the job and all of a sudden this is who you are and you have to reinvent yourself with players all the time mm-hmm. and still have that same way of drawing them in and yeah. the buy-in thing. And, you know, again, we saw with Mike, this team was all bought in 2002, 22, 23. They were all bought in sort of to start last season.
Mm-hmm.
But then the cracks start to hit.
Yep.
And like, how do you pull them together when things aren't perfect? When things aren't just like, you know, you kept talking about the mountain climb.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have those like major slips and you fall back, like how do you hold together? And unfortunately, he wasn't able to. And so now that's the task at hand. 5 games is great, but the Boston Celtics don't care. about your 5-game win streak.
That's why tonight is so interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
Not how do the Kings match up with Boston? Like, they don't. Just flat out. Just player for player, they don't. And there are very few teams in the league that do. But this is, you just talked about how the messaging is going to need to be different. This is, I think, where, okay, this is the first little tweak, little change.
Mm-hmm.
You had the run-up because it was like Mike Brown got let go, you played the next day, and then it was a lot of games there.
Yeah.
You played 6 games in a pretty quick stretch. You won 5 of them. Well, okay, now you've had time off. You got to go travel. You're playing a very good team, the defending champs, on the road. That's a tough place to play. The messaging is going to have to be different. Because the vibes of like, oh, new coach, everything's fresh, everything's new. It's going to be a little different.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why tonight is so important to me. It's not necessarily do they win. It's do they continue playing hard? What do they try and do schematically to match up with Boston? There's so many little things that get outside of the like, wow, hit the ground running, 5-1 in the first 6. That was so much fun. All right, now what do you do? The picture's a little different.
Yeah, and I think we've already seen, unfortunately, what this team looks like through adversity.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't handle it well, mm-hmm. and they collapsed, and they lost 6 games in a row,
mm-hmm.
and they fell 6 games under 500. I'm like, that's, you already know. So what you have to do, the job for Doug is not just to, like, invigorate a team, but it's to invigorate a team that's already lost their way,
mm-hmm.
and who's already shown that they're willing to let go of the rope. And mm-hmm. so how do you get everybody to keep pulling the right way when, again, like, Doug Christie's not going to win every single game the rest of the season?
Probably not.
As the interim head coach. And if he does, he is going to get a massive contract this summer to be the head coach of the Sacramento Kings for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, he has to find ways to, when you do take steps back, to keep everyone together and not just say they're staying together, actually stay together and play together, because this team kept saying that they're tight, that they're close, that they love each other, that they, you know, put their arms around each other.
Right, which maybe they do.
But then they kept losing.
Right.
And that showed you that there was some sort of disconnect, which cost somebody their job.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, I think, where we're at. Like, you're at a point where it's like, yeah, like, this is, it's a good test, but it's also, it's really a test about the mental and, like, the fortitude of a team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you guys really buying in, and are you really going to, you know, show us who you are and who you should have been?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you going to crumble like you did last time?
Right.
And, you know, that's just being honest. Like, yeah. I would like to tell everybody that it's just going to be this straight, beautiful climb to the NBA right. championship.
Everything's easy.
And you know, the bus is going to be driven by, you know, the front bus at the parade is going to be driven by Doug Christie. And I would love for that to happen.
It'd be great.
But let's be realistic and know that there are going to be tough times.
Mm.
And a 3-game road trip right now, it's an opportunity to go and bond and get closer, but
we just watched in real time how quickly it derails.
Yes.
Remember the vibes in 22-23?
Yep.
This was an ascending team, and less than 2 seasons later, they fired their head coach. That's how quick it can turn.
Kyle, it's even, like, for this team very specifically,
mm-hmm.
they had just fought back to 500. They got to 500.
Yeah.
And then let go of the rope.
That was crazy.
You won 3 in a row to get to 500 on December 12th.
And 4 out of 5, right?
Yeah, 4 out of 5. Mm-hmm. And then by December 28th, you were 6 games under.
Come on, man.
So that's where I would just, like, that's a, what, 16 days?
Mm-hmm.
Or 14 days, you went from, like, flying mm-hmm. high to, like, oh my gosh, what is happening again? 16
yeah.
days.
Yeah.
That's not the way to like, mm-hmm. build a consistent winner.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to be able to stop the streaks when they hit the bad runs of games. You got to be able to find a way, just like you do in the middle of the third quarter when someone's got a 7-0 run on you. You got to mm-hmm. find a way to end that 7-0 run yep. so it doesn't become 12 or 14 or yep. 18.
Yep.
And that's just the way, you know, you got to figure it out.
Or sometimes it gets to 17 and you come back and win anyway.
That's right.
Against Miami. Yeah, that's it. And that's something we just don't know the answer to. Like, everything's optimism and sunshine and rainbows right now because they're winning, and that's cool. That's what any team would be right now. But what does it look like when they hit adversity?
Yep.
And can they overcome that? So we will continue to find that out. Excited to watch the Kings and Celtics tonight. You mentioned the Kings letting go of the rope, and that ultimately culminated in that bad loss to the Pistons.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching Warriors-Pistons last night. Would you believe me if I told you that Golden State almost had a worse loss to Detroit than the Kings did?
Oof.
In fact, they probably should have.
Yeah.
So they were up 18 with 6.5 minutes left. Steph Curry shot it terribly last night. 5 of 21, I think he was, and 2 of 14 from three or something.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis Schroeder, for whatever reason, so Detroit cut it to 4 with 4.4 seconds left. Dennis Schroeder, for whatever reason, commits a foul in the backcourt.
Mm.
Inexplicable. Cade Cunningham goes to the line. Cade Cunningham is a gangster, by the way. Big Cade Cunningham guy. Makes the first free throw. And then the second one, he throws at the rim. It just nicked the rim and hit the backboard so hard that it came back to him at the free throw line. And he hits Simone Fontecchio in the corner for a wide open three.
Mm-hmm.
But the refs blew the whistle because they didn't think that the ball hit the rim, even though it very clearly did on replay. And I thought live, I thought you heard it nick the rim. But the refs blow the play dead, rob Detroit of a wide open corner three. Instead, they have to go side out of bounds. Malik Beasley gets a decent look with a contest from Schroeder and missed, and game was over.
Mm.
But it would have been a worse way to lose than the Kings did.
Yeah. No,
which would have been hard to do. Golden State's at that point of their decline where even a win feels like a loss.
Mm-hmm.
That was oof.
I'm with
that
you.
That is a bad team, man.
And
they're
just
a tough watch right now.
Just like look going back through like the 6-game losing streak for the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a 1-point loss to Denver. It's a
which
three.
That's the one where DeRozan dropped the ball, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They had
you,
the bucket.
You had a play drawn up to win that game,
and that's where again, brilliant play.
Yep,
absolutely brilliant. De'Aaron Fox, got the ball in the backcourt, starts
roll.
Running at him, flicks it to Domas. Domas has a wide open lane to the basket, perfect bounce pass
mm-hmm.
to DeMar DeRozan, who bobbles the ball, recovers it, misses a 6-foot fall away, and the Kings lose. Right,
mm-hmm.
So there's that game. Then they lose to the Lakers, and 113-100. But then the next one is 103-99. Again,
mm-hmm.
super close game. And then you had the real game where they let go of the rope, the Indiana game where they lost at home 122
yep.
To 95. And that's on December 22nd. Like you had a whole house full of Kings fans, like cheering on a team, you know, like it's even like a Sunday game.
Mm-hmm.
So a bunch of families there, like you had this opportunity to again, snap this little 3-game skid you were on.
Mm-hmm.
And instead that 3-game skid becomes 6 because you just don't show up in the moment.
Brutal.
And then to cap it off is a Detroit loss, which so of those games, like if you just win 2 of those tight games, we're not in the same situation you are right now.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the Kings are 20-17 and 20-17 right now in the Western Conference. Puts you tied for 7th and a half game out of the 5th seed.
And the optimism is probably a lot higher about where this team is.
Yeah.
Or maybe this is the case as I agree that's where they're at right now. But maybe this is the case by the end of the year where under Doug, they just continue this ascension and they're awesome. And maybe they make a little trade that really takes them to the next level. And all of a sudden, by the end of the year, this is a 4 seed hosting in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
And Doug Christie becoming the head coach was the best thing to ever happen to him.
Yep.
That's on the table. But like you said, long way to go until there. And the first real adversity or the first big obstacle is tonight at Boston.
Yep. Boston, followed by Chicago, followed by Milwaukee, all on the road. You got to find a way to win 2 out of 3 just to keep that momentum going and to get to 500.
Yeah, 2 out of 3 is the goal.
Mm-hmm.
You'd take that right now. Maybe get all 3.
Oh, Kyle.
We'll talk about it if they beat the Celtics. We can talk about them getting all 3. Speaking of getting all 3, that's what I hope I do with my underdog lineup tonight because underdog's available to play here in California. I'll give you a lineup. Coming up, going to be a lot of Kings in there, but you know that I'm going to have something from the NFL playoffs because Underdog Fantasy, Underdog's Pick'em game, just dramatically enhances the sports watching experience for me, and so I hope you play along. Download the app. Download. Do this right now so you can jump in with the lineup next segment. Download the app, sign up with promo code KYLEM, and deposit now to get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly. That's promo code KYLEM on the Underdog app. Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. We'll have that for you coming up. We will have Mad Props, NFL postseason edition. Kings game tonight, NFL wild card weekend. Just the weekend, not the Monday, because that's stupid the way the NFL does it now. So just the Saturday and Sunday games, we'll match those up with the Kings game tonight in Boston against the Celtics. Jesse Tapia will be in here. We'd love for you to play along. That's coming up next. He's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. And this is ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Hitter.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James Hamm, Kyle Madsen, and Jesse Tapia in the building.
What's up, guys?
Here for the handoff. We got Mad Props coming up. NFL playoffs begin this weekend.
Excited.
More importantly, though, tonight, 4 p.m. right here on ESPN 1320, college football playoff semifinal, Texas and Ohio State. Also tonight, Jesse Tapia's Boston Celtics taking on the Sacramento Kings at TD Garden.
Defending defending NBA champion, Boston Celtics.
Defending NBA champs, for sure.
Don't forget it.
Sacramento has won 5 in a row.
Yes.
How much are you quaking in your boots right now?
I'm not going to lie, I'm a little bummed out Fox isn't playing today. I was kind of looking for, I figured both teams going into today would be at full strength. So I was kind of looking forward to that. Kings come off 5-game winning streak and all that, playing good basketball. Like, as far as the game itself, like, the Kings, they're going to have to hit threes today. Or like Cam said earlier, you're going to have to hope Boston misses theirs. I don't think there's an instance where the Celtics are playing Kings, like the Kings type of game or whatever. You're going to have to play up to that and beat them that way.
I agree.
Yeah, we talked about it. I mean, Boston's making 18 threes a night. That's just, like, stunning.
Yeah, it's just...
That's
basics.
Ridiculous what they're doing. And I mean,
18 threes a night. You pencil them in for 54 points.
That's it.
Oh my God. And then this is what James and I were talking about a little bit earlier. What's the killer with Boston is they're so good then defensively. Mm-hmm. If they were, I don't know, like the Atlanta Hawks, and they were cashing a bunch of threes, but it's like, man, they also can't get any stops. That'd be one thing. Mm-hmm. But the reason that there's a 32-4 team in the East, 33-4 now, I think so.
Yeah, 33-4
team in the East, and people are still like, yeah, but Boston, is because of what they can do to you defensively.
Yeah.
And that's my greatest concern for the Kings tonight.
It's just a bad matchup for the Kings. There's not really another way to put it. Like, you guys went over the margin of deficit, or whatever you want to call it, over the last 3 years, and it's like, if they get within 20, that's a good day.
Yeah,
not even joking.
I don't think there's a scenario where the Kings lose tonight by something in the 20 range, let's say 17 to 22 points, and I feel good about it.
Mm-hmm.
That would be tough. Getting blown out would be a bummer. I think if you lose it by even by like 10, and it's like, you played well, Boston hit a couple of big shots down the stretch and they pulled away,
but if
you just get murked, that's bad.
It's a bummer if you do get run over, but I would also, like we pointed out yesterday, like the Kings and have found a way to eliminate that giant gap between how many threes they make and how many their opponents do.
Yeah.
You know, over the last 6 games, they've actually made more threes than their opponents, mm-hmm. but it's like 13.8 made threes to 13.6 made.
Mm-hmm.
Now you go up against a team that, again, is opening up that gap. Even if you have a good shooting night, you could still lose by 20, because if they have even a decent shooting night,
mm-hmm.
they're just wildly better at everyone else at doing that specific thing. And if you're going to get into a 3-point shootout, you better have all of your shots falling, and you better hope that somehow they're missing. And the other thing is, defensively, they don't even have to match up with you one-on-one, and you don't even have to match up with them one-on-one. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to switch
the whole game,
mm-hmm.
and that's where the Kings get caught. That's where the Kings don't have switchability.
Yep.
I mean, even if you're starting Keon Ellis, which I'm assuming what they'll do again tonight. I mean, you're looking at 6'3", 6'5", 6'6", and 6'8", and 6'10". And you're going to go up against like 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", 6'10". Yeah. Like all of it's going to... And then they come off the bench and they come at you in waves. Like Peyton Pritchard's just spectacular. Balling.
Sixth man of the year front runner.
Give him the award right now.
Yeah.
I don't know who else it would be.
I think he's top five and threes made like just overall this season in the NBA.
I'm just looking at Malik Monk's stats and just thinking that, you know... He was a sixth man for part of the year, so why would he not be considered?
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, just give him the award now.
Precedent was set last night.
Yeah.
Or last year. Real quick, before we get into Mad Props, go ahead and download the Prize Picks app right now. Use promo code Kyle when you sign up.
Nope.
I'm going to try this again. Download the Underdog app now. I'm so used to hearing D'Lo and KC. God dang. Download the Underdog app. That's what it's called. Underdog. You download that app. Sign up with promo code KyleM and deposit now to get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly. That's promo code KyleM. Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. So once you download the Underdog app, here's the lineup we're going with tonight. It's all Kings and Celtics. I'm going three players in my lineup. I'm going Malik Monk lower than 30.5 points, rebounds, and assists. I guess it's a tough matchup for Malik Monk because of that switchability you talked about. I don't think there's a matchup that he can just get in and cook. And so I think it might be a tough night for Malik. I'm going to go lower than 30.5 points, rebounds, and assists, even with De'Aaron Fox out. I think a big night for Domas, though. I'm going 39.5 points, rebounds, assists. I'm going to go higher for Domas. While the Celtics do have a ton of switchability, I don't love their ability to slow down Domas if he gets going downhill.
Not a... Big Miss Kata guy coming off the bench to get Domas? Or?
No, not now, not today. Let's talk a few months from now. But yeah, not today. I think Domas is going to have a huge game. And plus, he's been awesome lately. So I think we're going to get another really good Domas game. And then Derek White, I'm going higher than 2.5 three-pointers made.
Sounds good.
That's just the one that I don't know how the Kings defend a guy like Derek White.
Shout out Derek
successfully.
White. Went bald and just... Elevated
my
his
man,
game.
If you're wondering, if you're concerned about being bald or going bald, or you're like, maybe you're hanging on by a thread, Devin Carter. Maybe you're hanging on by a thread, Devin. And you're like, man, you should probably shave your head, Devin. You should look at Derek White's career trajectory. My man tried to hold on. He wore the big headband that got wider and higher up on his head. It's like, bro, you're fooling nobody with your kid and play ass haircut.
Yeah, Derek
you're
White
not fooling anyone.
Freed his baldness and thus freed his basketball game and became a lot better.
Went bald, had the best season of his career, won an NBA title, made Team USA, won a gold medal.
Facts.
Easy work. Go bald, Devin.
See, this is one of those things where when you go on these rants, I just sit back and go, okay, this is Kyle's rant because
you are uniquely qualified
yes. to have this conversation where I am not uniquely qualified, so I stay out of it.
You with your full ass head of hair.
Yeah,
it's fine.
We're hair havers over here.
Yeah, and I'm not hating. This is not hating. If you're like Jesse and you've got a great hairline and you're like James and you got a great hairline and you got a full head of hair, rock that. That is your deal. Do it. But if you're not, Devin, if you've got the hairline starting to go and you're getting the patchiness up top a little bit and you're concerned, it's like it's okay to go bald, man. It's okay to let it go. It is better to be bald than to have patches or the rough hairline or whatever. Like, you're not fooling anybody.
It's a tough life to live, though. I got a buddy who's been on the verge of, like, he's only got so many haircuts left before it's time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just kind of like you're kind of just teetering that line for a while, I guess.
Matt in the chat, he said, go bald if you want a ball. Yeah, see?
There it is right there.
It's good. You guys want to do mad props?
Of course. That's why I'm
let's do it.
So the reason I step into this damn show.
It's time for mad props. Two games, two props. Which number will be higher? That's for Kyle and James to decide.
And Jesse.
Here's
and
Jesse. Mad props.
Also Jesse. I need to adjust that. I need to get that redone. I'm just going to send the script over to Charlie again because my initial plan when we first had Jesse in for this was like, oh, we'll have a rotating cast of characters. Like, that's stupid. We got to do a handoff anyway, so we'll just have Jesse in here. Makes it so much easier.
Yeah.
And I know that Jesse can talk on the radio.
It's true, yeah.
It was wild. On the old show I was on, down the hall at 98 Rock, they would do a bit that required, like, they'd bring in different salespeople or promo people to play this game. The amount of people that were just like, nope. Like, really talkative, and then the mic turns on, and they're like, okay.
Lights get bright.
Crazy, dude.
Lights get bright.
It's tough.
The red one. The red
I forgot
one
what it was like when you first start.
Yeah, yeah.
We've had some good responses when we bring in the other radio people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Doug from 96.9?
Yeah.
Big winner of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Not Doug, Ken.
Ken
from 96.9.
Yeah, yeah.
Big winner of the year for me.
I totally agree.
He was awesome.
Shout out, Ken.
We love Ken. Okay, mad props. The Kings game tonight against the playoff games this weekend, the wild card games this weekend, just this weekend, by the way. The Monday game doesn't count to me. The Monday game's
it's going
to
be a weird one.
Weird for obvious reasons with what's going on down in LA with the fires and that game being moved to Arizona. But just on a year-to-year basis, I hate that schedule. Three games Saturday, three games Sunday was perfect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The two games Saturday, three Sunday, one Monday.
We don't need a Monday night playoff game.
We don't care.
I don't care it's on Monday. Playoffs is for Saturday and Sunday, like you said.
Exactly. Well, and the fun part about the playoffs is the different schedule. Mm-hmm. I don't need a Monday night game, man.
Yeah.
Well, that and a team has to play short. Mm-hmm. Like, they have to play on fewer days rest now. Yeah. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Boo.
Don't like it. I don't like it. All right. Here's what we got. Malik Monk field goal attempts. Keeping in mind, no De'Aaron Fox tonight. He is out with a glute contusion. Malik Monk field goal attempts. And as our guy Norm in the chatty house pointed out, that can become a lower back injury, which is why they're not pushing it. Thank you, Norm. Smarter than me.
Malik Monk
field goal attempts or Russell Wilson completions against the Ravens.
Oh.
I'll take Malik Monk field goal attempts.
I'm going to do the same. Sorry, I didn't throw that to one of you. James, go ahead.
I will go Russell Wilson.
I don't know. I'm going Monk just because I think there's going to be a lot of shot attempts to go up in this game.
I think Malik takes at least 20 plus.
Yeah, and I don't trust Russell Wilson and the Steelers offense at all right now.
Yeah.
They look so bad.
Yeah, but I expect them to have to throw.
So
you have to throw, but is he going to complete?
It's a really good point.
Mm.
All right. Next one, James. Keegan Murray 3-point attempts tonight against the Celtics or Mike Evans targets against the Commanders? It's Buccaneers wide receiver Mike Evans.
I'm going to go Mike Evans.
I'm going to do the same. Jesse?
I'll do the same as well. I think Keegan will get like 6 3-point attempts or something like that, but they'll feed Mike Evans.
My one concern with Mike Evans props is does he get tossed out of the game for fighting Marshawn Lattimore?
There is that.
At some point.
There is that.
Yeah. Mm. That worries me. But yeah, I think I've got Keegan in the 5 to 6 range. Or is the Kings game plan tonight just blaze away from three and Keegan gets 12 or 13 threes up?
Okay, the Marshawn Lattimore factor has me thinking a lot more than I was originally before.
Are we sticking with Mike Evans?
We're talking targets for Mike Evans?
Targets.
I'm going to stick with Mike Evans then. Okay. If it was his catches, I might go Keegan, but...
Of his catches,
I'm going to go Mike Evans.
Okay. I'm going to switch mine, and ooh, I'm going to go Keegan. I'm going to say Keegan.
I love this.
Because I do believe that this is going to be a 3-point shootout tonight, and I think Keegan is going to have an opportunity.
Okay. Jesse, Demonis Sabonis, points, rebounds, and assists, or Ravens-Steelers total points?
Oh, Demonis Sabonis, points, rebounds, and assists. I think that Steelers-Ravens game will be pretty low scoring. Where Ravens will be in control like the entire time, but it's not going to be like fun to watch.
James?
I'm going to go the other way.
Yeah?
Yeah, because, you know, again, Boston has all kinds of different looks to throw at Domas. They can go Keita. They can go Al Horford. They can go Porzingis. Drag Domas away from the basket.
Jason Tatum play a little five.
Yeah.
Green Cornette out there. Shout out Luke Cornette.
We love Luke Cornette.
I'm going to say that Domas is going to, like, he could have a really good game, but he could also get really frustrated. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But then again, this is a 3-point shooting team he's going up against. So
I got 17-13 vibes from the Steelers-Ravens game.
I kind of think the Ravens are going to blow these dudes out.
Like they're gonna
and
score
the
high?
Total's gonna yeah I like
that's what
like
I was thinking
38-13 type of game.
Oh wow.
Yeah
I could see the Ravens just dog walking Pittsburgh.
I was thinking 31, 31-13, but yeah, that puts me at 44, and that's going to be a tough one for Domas to get to.
Yeah. I just needed to go higher than 39.5. Shout out to Underdog. DeMar DeRozan points or Josh Allen completions? James.
Give me this one more time.
DeMar DeRozan points.
Okay.
Against the Celtics. Or Josh Allen completions against the Broncos.
I'm going DeMar DeRozan.
I'm going to do the same.
I'm going to go DeMar DeRozan too. I think the Bills are going to win that game, but I like that Broncos defense. I think they'll make it interesting, and I think DeMar will do his thing today too without Fox.
I think there's a chance the Bills go up a bunch, and they're not throwing it a lot. And I also think there's a chance that Josh Allen does a, like, take it upon himself and runs. And
that's the thing. They have so many different ways they can win offensively.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Trey Lyles made threes. This is for Jesse. Trey Lyles made threes. Been hitting them lately.
Yes, sir.
Or Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry combined rushing touchdowns.
Give me Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry rushing touchdowns. Okay. Lamar Jackson going to get his third MVP. He was named first team All-Pro this morning. Shout out Lamar.
James. I'm with Jesse.
Do we think if Trey Lyles hits three threes, do we think they combine for more than three?
That's kind of the number I'm at with Lamar and Derrick Henry. Like, they're going to get to three, I think. Maybe a little two and two action.
I'm going Trey Lyles. Trey Lyles has been hot lately, and I'm gonna ride the hot hand.
We could be talking on Monday where they each just hit three and that was it.
I'm going to ride the hot hand here with Trey Lyles. I think Trey Lyles is going to knock down some triples. I think he's going to have to play a lot just to match Boston's size. Mm-hmm. He's going to have a lot of opportunities. I'm going Trey Lyles.
Mm.
And it wouldn't surprise me if Lamar, to prove a point, goes out and throws for four or five touchdowns.
Love to see it either way.
Would love to see it. Last one, James. We're going Keon Ellis points or Ladd McConkey targets against the Houston Texans.
Oh, I'm going Keon points. That's a tough one, though. Because Ladd's going to get a lot.
I'll go Keon points, too. Ladd's been great all year. Shout out to Kyle Madsen, by the way. Late round wide receiver draft guru, by the way. Hit right on Malik Washington and Ladd McConkey. Props to you from earlier this season.
Wasn't Ladd McConkey a second round pick?
Was he? I thought he was like third. Either way, I'm trying to give you props.
My man, Kyle Madsen stinks.
Kyle Madsen stinks. Either way, I'm going Keon Ellis points.
I'm torn between, does Keon have a tough night against a good defensive team, or did D'Amico Ryans and the Texans have a really good plan for Ladd McConkey?
Well, we're going points to targets, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think Ladd can get like 8, 10 targets or whatever, but Keon, I think, is getting double-digit points, like, no matter what.
Really, no matter what?
Yeah, I think Keon will get his. Keon's, I don't know, just like kind of what I expect from Keon, I guess.
Yeah.
He has been very good lately.
I'd also point out Boston gives up a ton of threes. Like a ton of 3-point makes.
You're right. I'm going with Keon. I'm riding the high hand with Keon. That's what I did with Trey Lyles. And I will do that with Keon. I will rock with you guys on that one. We will revisit those on Monday.
Okay. Sounds good.
Sound good?
Yeah.
Very good. Mad props. If you'd like to sponsor the program, hit us up. I don't know who to email, but
you would like to give us your money for that segment, come talk to one of us.
We have a lot of fun with it.
That's right.
And we'll revisit those on Monday. Maybe we'll do another one on Monday for the Monday night game.
Oh.
Or we can just
not acknowledge it.
Yeah, just crab on it all day if we want.
Over the last six games, Boston Celtics' defensive rating is a 108, which is fifth in the NBA. The Sacramento Kings is 110.4, which is eighth in the NBA.
A defensive battle tonight in Boston.
Who would have thunk it?
Battle. Who'd have thought?
Saw a stat earlier on Twitter. Last five games, top two net ratings in the NBA, the Celtics and Kings.
Wow.
Yeah, over the last six games, like the net rating, the Kings are at six. Boston is at number one.
Wow.
Yeah. Like if we just look at the win streak, you're probably right there. Yeah.
Okay.
Matchup of the Titans right here.
Let me make sure I've got this right. 54-49. Okay, we're good. All right. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do some predictions in the NBA or in the NFL. I'm just going to start at the top. We're going to go in order. I'm going to give you point spreads, and we'll do some predictions.
Sounds good.
Chargers at Texans. Chargers favored by 3 points.
I'm taking Texans.
Ooh.
Give me the Chargers.
I think the Chargers might win by a lot.
Yeah.
I think the Texans might win by a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Why?
I like the Texans. I think that they've had like an inconsistent year, but I don't know.
The Chargers are like my sneaky dark horse, could make a run to the AFC Championship type team.
They're plus 3,500 to win the Super Bowl, and I really like it.
I can see the run. They play playoff football.
Dude, Jim Harbaugh is a gangster, man.
Yes.
I don't...
You're telling me, oh, they got to run the ball, play defense, and just have a good quarterback? I have the team for you with a great coach.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Chargers against the Texans. Steelers, Ravens, Baltimore minus 9.5. I have already given my pick for this one. I think Baltimore covers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'll go Baltimore.
Yep. Okay. I'm with you.
Broncos at the Bills. Bills favored by 8.5.
This is either going to be two scores or... Bills are going to handle this one, I think. I don't think Josh Allen's going to have to do too much. It's just...
So give me the matchup one more time.
It's okay. Broncos, Bills. Bo Nix has been good this year. Bo Nix is a rookie quarterback going on the road to face a really good Buffalo team in his first start. I'm taking the points.
Yeah, I'll take the Bills and the points too.
Okay. Yep.
Packers, Eagles. Eagles are favored by 5. I think the Eagles might blow the Packers out.
Really?
I really like the Eagles. I think the Eagles are going to cover. Packers, no Christian Watson. Defensive line's not great.
I'm going to go the other way.
Is Jair Alexander playing? I don't think Jair Alexander's playing.
Yeah, I'm still going to go the other way. I'm going to go with the Packers.
Packers plus 5?
I'm kind of going against everything I believe just because I got Eagles, Bills right now in the Super Bowl, but I don't know. I'm going to go Packers right here.
I'm taking Eagles. Yeah. I think they've
win by a touchdown?
Yeah.
Okay. Commanders, Bucks. Bucks favored by 3. This is one where rookie quarterback going on the road. I kind of like the Commanders, but I want to root for Tampa Bay, so I'm going to pick Tampa Bay.
Everything tells me the Bucs should win this game.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Yeah. I think they're just going to have too many. I
with the Bucs, I don't know if they're going to score 40 or if they're going to score 10.
Yeah, man.
Oof.
You know, give me Commanders plus 3. I'm taking the Commanders plus 3.
I think I'm just doing too.
I'm just doing it.
I think I am too. I think
I'm going to rock with Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, Jaden Daniels is going to do some things. Terry McLaurin's going to do something. Yeah.
Every time I've put my takes on the line for the Bucks, it's backfired greatly. So we'll just go with the Bucks one more time. I got the Bucks this week.
Vikings, Rams, our last one here. Minnesota minus 2.5. This game is on Monday. It's not this weekend. I'm going Rams plus 2.5.
I'm going to go Minnesota because it's in Arizona.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to go Minnesota as well because I just think it's too much disruption and too much chaos.
Atmosphere is going to be
and
weird.
And Minnesota's really freaking good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Sam Darnold has a lot to prove, and he has a lot of money on the line in this game.
Hmm.
I think
the Rams have a very good coach. I think they have the better quarterback. They have the playmakers on offense. They've been there before. Sam Darnold and the Vikings have not. So I'm going with the Rams technically at home. Plus 2.5. And that's our official predictions. Those are all going to be true, even though we went against each other on some of them. Jesse Tapia, D'Lo and KC's producer. They're coming up next. Right here on ESPN 1320. James and I are done until Monday. Monday at 10 a.m. We'll be right back here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Until Monday at 10, drink water, be nice people. Bye.